Judges chapter 16, we are continuing in our study on the Holy Spirit. Now, I've said this many, many, many times in my shy, timid little way. I don't allow people that teach things the wrong way to make me shy away from teaching truth. And you'll get the truth plain and simple. We've been teaching for many, 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 many weeks on the Holy Spirit. Tonight, I'm excited about this truth. Now, folks, when you get to Judges 16, just look at me. The Holy Spirit is God. Just like you have a body, a soul, and a spirit, God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are all one, but there are three separate entities of one. All right, you say, explain that. I'm a human being just like you. I know this. I'm a husband, I'm a pastor, and I'm a dad. I have three titles, but I'm the same person. Now, I have more titles than that, but I know this. I can play those three roles, though I am the same person. I know that if I can do that, God can do a whole lot better job than I can. And the Holy Spirit is real. Now, let's read in Judges 16. We're going to read verses 15 through 20. Then I'm going to talk for a moment. Then I'm going to teach you from this passage. And then I'm going to apply it practically, all right? So I'm just getting you ready for where we're headed here. Verse number 15. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. Judges 16, verse 16. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall be weak, be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and brought money into their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. Watch this. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. That is from where we get our text tonight. Now, if you'll listen to me, let me teach for just a moment. And then I'm going to get into the heart of the lesson. Mankind seems to need to be forced to do what's right. Do you ever notice most of the time you have to force yourself to do what's right? You know, you don't get forced to do what's wrong. That's pretty easy to do. You know, you don't teach your children how to sin. They do it naturally. You know, you don't have to teach a child to lie. They do it very naturally. You have to teach them to tell the truth. You have to teach them to do what's right. And by the way, you don't struggle doing wrong. You struggle doing right. Sin has caused this. Sin has caused man to lose his submission to right, and now he has to force himself to do that which is right. Man has allowed sin to keep him from right, and sin draws him away from right. Now, listen to this statement. Real leadership does not want to lead. Real leadership does not want to lead. Real leadership is pushed into leadership. Now, hang on. That's why most politicians aren't leading. They're wanting to lead. They're not being pushed into leadership. They're good at getting elected, but they're not good at leading. They're seeking position, they're seeking leadership, and they're not being pushed into leadership. Did you ever notice when a politician finally does start getting pushed, mayor of Houston. They back off. Everybody doing okay? Now, listen to me and I'll explain this. That's why God himself does not force himself on anyone. You know, God does not come down and force anybody to do anything. God does not come down and force you to love him. Brother Stoltz, God's never come down and said, Rich Stoltz, you have to love me. Not one time. God does not come down and force people to get saved. God does not come down and force anybody to do anything. Yeah. And listen to this statement. He does not force you to follow his plan for your life. God has a designated plan for your life, but he won't make you do it. By the way, that's why you know, and here comes my timidity, waging a jihad against people who disagree with you proves their God's not right. Anybody that has to force people to go the direction they're going, can I tell you something? That's not leadership. Leaders are pushed into leading. Now, listen to me very carefully. You have the story here in Judges chapter 16. Samson and Delilah. Now, listen very, very, very carefully here. It's very interesting. Delilah has been paid by the Philistines to find the secret of Samson's power. Now, we know, if you've read the book of Judges or been in church very long at all, the Bible says more about the Spirit of God being on Samson than any other person other than Jesus Christ in Scripture. Samson was not a bad person, but he was a sinner like you and me. Now listen to this. The secret to his power was not that it was his hair. Don't get this wrong. Samson was a Nazarite from the time he was conceived. And the breaking of that Nazarite vow would have been symbolized by his hair. It was not his hair that gave him the power. It was the Holy Spirit of God that gave him his power. Now, listen very carefully. It is said more times of Samson than any other person in Scripture that the Spirit of God or the Lord was upon him. Delilah pushed him. Oh, he toyed with her. He said, you get 7 green withes, new rope, tie me up. And I'll be like any other man. She did it. He woke up, busted the cords, and whooped up on a bunch of Philistines. He said something else. And you weave my hair a certain way, and you nail it to the ground. And they did that, and he picked up the gates and beat the tar out of the Philistines with it. And he did another thing, and, you know, on and on the story goes. And Delilah says, now, sweetie pie, you've been toying with me long enough. How come you won't tell me the truth? You know, folks, sin has a way of blinding people. Don't you think if somebody tried to get at you 3 times, you'd wake up? Don't you think if you had people waiting on you 3 different times to tear into you and they did what you said to lose your power, guess what? You know, the light bulb should have gone out. You know, boom. I think it burned out. Now, Samson finally, the Bible says, told her that it was symbolized by his Nazarite vow with the fact that a razor was not supposed to come upon his head. By the way, don't believe the liberals. Samson didn't have hippie hair. His hair was cut, but it was not to be shorn with a razor ever. He was to cut it at certain times of the year. Now, it was longer than normal. Yes, it was. And it was pulled into 7 different parts to symbolize, you know, kind of look like alfalfa or something. You know, you got 7 things sticking out of your head. But he had it done that way because that was part of the vow. But notice it doesn't say that it was never to be cut. It said no razor. Didn't say anything about a scissor. And you find out that regularly it was cut. Okay? So it wasn't that it was never cut. It says no razor was to be upon his head. Now, finally, he gives in. He tells her all his heart. And by the way, she says that he told her all his heart and said unto her. And he then said, when Delilah saw that he told her all his heart. Young people, listen to me. We preachers, we adults, know more about you than you think. I worked in a Bible college for an awfully long time. I know that look. Okay? You know, like a calf looking at a new gate. Okay? That sick puppy love look. You know when it's there. I can look at somebody and say, man, they got it bad. They got it real bad. And you say, what happens? He goes stupid. She goes into la-la ditzy land. And it just happens. Say, what is it? Bambi would have called it, what is that word? Twitter-pated? Is that the right? Man, I got it right. My daughter's back there. She's proud of me. Amen. Twitter-pated, all right? You can tell when somebody's giving you their heart. When they tell you the innermost things of their heart. Those of us that have been around, we can see your heart. By your words. Now, Bible says that she went, told the Philistines, she got her money, set up the time, made him go to sleep on her lap. And they came and took the razor and cut his hair off. And the Bible says that she started tormenting him, started slapping him around, waking him up. And he said that he would shake himself as at times before and wish not that the Lord departed from him. He didn't realize he had lost the Spirit of God on his life. Now, listen to me very carefully. How is it that the person in the Bible who it is said more of than any other, the Spirit of the Lord God was upon him, that he lost the Holy Spirit of God on his life and didn't even know it? If Samson can lose it, what chance do we have? The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit will not force himself on you. Did you catch that? The Holy Spirit will not force his way on you. He will lead you. He'll prompt you. But he is not going to force you to follow him. Now, listen to me very carefully. God is not this mean old man waiting to whack you and judge you if you don't do things his way. I'm going to talk about this for just a little second here, and bear with me. It has all the bearing on the teaching for the rest of the next 28 minutes or so. You may be left alone like Samson by the Spirit of God to do what you chose to do yourself. But God was not judging Samson. Did you catch that? Samson was reaping the consequences of not being yielded to the Holy Spirit. God did not judge Samson. Samson was a saved man. His sins were cared for by Calvary. God's not there to judge you. Now, listen to this statement. The Holy Spirit does want to lead, but he must be asked. He will not force it on you. He will not force his way on anyone. And even after leading you time after time after time, he still will not force his way on you. You still must ask him to lead you. Do you know that I have been preaching for 34 plus years? I've been in the ministry full time over 25 years. Do you know that every day, multiple times a day, I must say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, I yield to you. Or I can lose the power of God as quickly as Samson did. Just because I've seen big things happen in the ministry doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's going to do it again unless I ask him to. Did you catch that? Because you get it once doesn't mean you got it forever. You have to keep asking him and keep yielding to him for him to keep leading you. Now, let me say it this way. He will not assume leadership in your life. You must yield to his leadership. Now, if you did not listen to anything, listen to the next 3 or 4 minutes. The Holy Spirit is not emotions. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit is not your emotions. Now, Brother Stoltz, come on up here for a second. Levi, come on up here for a second. You're going to help me here. You stand there. I was going to say, here is a body. Then I was going to say, there is a body, but neither one of them are in good shape. All right. Man is body. That's the outside frame here. Soul, that is the emotions, your personality, what you are. And man is a spirit. Now, when you're lost, die. There you go. You aren't real bright, are you? All right. A lost person is just body and soul. The moment a person gets saved, their spirit is reborn. That's what being born again is. Without being saved, man is body and soul. Let me ask you a question. Do lost people have emotions? Yes, they do. If they have emotions, then the Holy Spirit, almost kicked the gourds off the platform here, and not yours. A lost person has emotions, therefore, the spirit cannot be emotion. Your spirit is not your emotion. Nor is the Holy Spirit emotion. He's not called the Holy Soul. He's called the Holy Spirit. And it's our spirit that communes via the Holy Spirit with God. Gives us direct access to God. Everybody see that? All right, have a seat, fellas. Thank you. Now, listen to me very carefully. And don't get mad at me. I'm going to call a group out, okay, because they teach wrong. Charismatics teach that being spiritual is emotional. They talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you ever see the Holy Roller churches or the Pentecost or what I would call charismatic brand churches? Everything is emotional, but they call it spiritual. They've got the music that moves them. They've got to be swaying and waving the hands and jumping up and down. And they got it. Everything is emotional. They get slain in the spirit. And it's all emotion. Everybody doing okay? Now listen to me. They're dead wrong. They are dead wrong. Because it is not the Holy Soul, it is the Holy Spirit. And it does not deal with your emotions. Do you know that you don't have to get emotional to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? I have won people to Christ. They were as stone-faced as Buddha himself. I'm thinking, wow. I've won other people to Christ. Man, they're blubbering and slobbering all over the place and boo-hooing. And man, they got emotional with it. I've led others to the Lord. They were somewhere in between there. Can I tell you something? That wasn't a spiritual thing. Their emotions had nothing to do with it. So to be spiritual does nothing. Now, listen to the statement. Has nothing to do with your emotions. Being spiritual will help you control your emotions. But you don't find the Holy Spirit coming on people and things getting out of hand. Say, well, what happened at Pentecost? They spoke in tongues. First of all, it says every man heard in their own language. It doesn't say that the disciples were speaking in all those other languages. It does say that every man heard in his own tongue. It wasn't some jibber-jabber, people flipping and flopping on the floor like a fish out of water. It was every man hearing in the gospel in their own tongue because of being a not only a Pentecost year, but or a Pentecost time, but also it was a year of Jubilee where everybody was coming back doing business, and every nation under earth was there, under heaven was there, and every language group of people was represented, and it was a way to supersede, and I taught on this several weeks ago, to get the gospel out around the world, because everybody that got saved then, those 3,000 plus, went back to where they came from and started sharing the gospel all over the world. It wasn't somebody sitting there, Yamaha, Suzuki, and Taco Bell. Folks, well, it was a heavenly language. Well, God wrote a book we could understand. I'm not afraid to say it. If man can't understand, why would God that loves us make it hard? Brother Kisner, you and I Saturday, I want a man to Christ. I looked at the fellow and said, Doc, why would God make it hard for you to go to heaven if he wanted you to get there? He went, I don't know. I said, he didn't. Let me show you. And in about 7-8 minutes, he bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior and is on his way to heaven. Amen. Can I tell you why? God did not make it hard. Well, this spiritual stuff, it's not emotionalism. Anything based on emotionalism, count on it, it's not spiritual. Everybody doing okay? Now, hang in there. By the way, that's why those churches preach the fear of God and the judgment of God so strongly. If you don't do this, God's going to judge you. Can I tell you something? The moment you get saved, your judgment's cared for. You know, I have no fear. The moment this old body dies, I'm in heaven no matter what. Oh, I might lose some rewards. You're right, because I'm a sinner. Well, you've got this problem and God's judging. No, God may allow me to reap from the wrong that I have done, but I'm not being judged by it. What was it, about 2 months ago when somebody broke in and stole our van? I don't think God was judging our church by stealing our van. I think we were reaping somebody else's sin. Everybody doing okay? When you plant a field, sometimes things come up you didn't plant. Birds will carry seeds in from everywhere else. Things will grow that you didn't plant. Last year, I planted some things in my garden, and outside the edge of my garden, there was two tomato plants that came up that I didn't plant. They were a different kind of tomato. I got more tomatoes off the ones I didn't plant than the ones I did plant. But wait a minute, I didn't even plant those. Where'd they come from? Probably some bird. Didn't matter to me. I ate from it, amen? I was reaping where I did not sow. Did you catch that? So sometimes God will remove his spirit. Now, it does not leave your body. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But he'll remove his influence. He steps back. He tiptoes out of the way because you're not yielded to him. And you will reap from the wrong you've done because you did it your way, not God's way. But this thing of everything being judgment. Well, bless God, if you don't do this, you got to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, or you're going to go to hell. That's garbage. That's garbage. When you get saved, you do get the Holy Spirit. That's what the spiritual birth is all about. John chapter 3, Nicodemus. How can a man be born of the second time from his mother's womb? Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Notice there's two spirits there, small s, capital S. That which is born of the Holy Spirit is man's spirit. Then Jesus said, ye must be born again. Your spirit is dead, is in need of rebirth. The moment you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit moves in. Your spirit is reborn. And the Bible uses the term regened or regenerated, regeneticized. You got the eternal genetics of God in your spirit to live forever. And guess what? You couldn't take it away if you wanted to. We misspeak sometimes when we say, well, when you get saved, you trust Jesus and you get Jesus in your heart. No. You trust what Jesus did, but you get the Holy Spirit into your life. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? It is the house. It's the building for the Holy Spirit. Okay, moving on. Here we go. The Holy Spirit is not an emotional show. Matter of fact, the Bible says he's a still small voice. Remember the story? And I think it's Ezekiel. He wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the flood. But he was a still small voice. They got it backwards. It's not an emotion. It is a spiritual thing. Now, tonight, I want to show you that the Holy Spirit is not some big emotional party ready to explode inside you. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. I actually call this the timidity or the timidness of the Holy Spirit. The timidness of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is shy. He has to be asked to lead. He's not going to force his way on you. By the way, that's why I'll use the term charismatics. That proves they're wrong because the Holy Spirit doesn't come down in a big show. He has to be forced to lead in your life. Now, listen to me very carefully. He's to be yielded to, and as long as you follow the Bible, biblical counsel, and you do what it says, he has full control. Now, let me show you what I mean. I've got 14 minutes, and we'll go to the house. You ready? Number one, if I do things the way I want, he will not do things the way he wants. If I do things in my life the way I want to do them, then the Holy Spirit will say, you sure? Uh-huh, that's the way I want to do it. Okay, and he'll let me do it. But he's not going to do it with me. He's not going to give me his power to do it, Brother Stoltz. It's just like as my children were growing up. There was times they earned a little bit of money here or there. Dad, I got $10. I'm going to go buy this thing. And I knew it wasn't going to last to get home. Are you sure? Yep, that's what I want to do. I don't think it's really what you want to do. Oh, that's what I want, Dad. Okay, it's your money. And they played with it. It broke very soon thereafter. Dad, it broke. Can we go get another one? Yep, as soon as you get 10 more bucks. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have spent it on that. Now you're learning. One of my boys texted me today. He said, Dad, I feel like I'm some kind of bank or something. I said, why? He said, this week I had to go to the chiropractor. I had to buy this. I got to buy this. He said, I spent $900 this week. I said, welcome to manhood. He said, this really stinks. I said, I wished I only spent that much. I said, 2 trips to one doctor. We took care of that. I said, it doesn't get any better. It gets tougher. Wait till you get married and have kids. He said, I can wait. Now, wait a minute. If I do things my way, he will not do things his way. You decide if you want to do it your way or his way. The Holy Spirit will let you do things your way. He's just going to back off and give you what you want. He will. By the way, you don't get God's way until you yield to the Holy Spirit. You don't. Now, listen to me very carefully. It is not yielding one time and you have it for life. 25 and a half years ago, at an altar in Temperance, Michigan, my wife and I got married. I said, I do. And she said she did, and we did, and we've been married. We got married one time. I ain't doing this more than once, amen? Now, wait a minute. That's different than it is with the Holy Spirit. But not really. Let me show you what I mean. We could have just gotten married, but if we don't yield to each other, the relationship gets strained. If I do it my way, she does it her way, there's going to be a strain. We work real hard at working together on it. Do we always agree? No. Then she beats me over the head and I agree with her. Every once in a while. By the way, part of my job is to listen to her, figure out if her way is better than my way, and do what I believe is best for her and I and our family. Now watch this. If I decide what she said was best and it turns out wrong, I don't turn around and say, I told you we should have never done that. Well, you say, you don't blame her? No, I was the idiot that should have seen that it wasn't going to work that way. Everybody doing all right? That's called real leadership, by the way. Do you know that if I tell my secretary this is the way we're going to do something, and she said, preacher, do you think we should really do that? I always step back and say, why'd you say that? She'll tell me. Sometimes I'll say, you know, maybe you ought to rethink this a little bit. There's other times I know exactly where I'm headed with it and say, yep, this is the way we do it. But guess what? Even those times where I've said, yep, this is the way we're going to do it, and it goes the wrong way, and I should have listened to her, I don't go back to her and say, it's all your fault. No. I'm the leader. I'm the one that has to take that. It's not on her. If I listened to her and it didn't turn out right, it's not her fault. That's my fault. Everybody doing okay? Now, that's where the Word of God comes into play and good counsel. Good Bible counsel. Now, if I do things the way I want, he will not do things the way he wants. Do you know that if you want to do something so bad, he'll let you do it? But he's just going to tiptoe away like he did with Samson? And you're going to go about your way, and then you're going to get mad at God because, well, I yielded to God before and it came out okay. God, what's God mad at me for? He's not mad. You just didn't yield to him to find out if that's what he wanted. Quit blaming God for your lack of yielding to him. Everybody doing all right? Okay, number two. Everybody smile. Preacher loves you. Okay, here it comes. If I comfort myself, he will not comfort me. You know, if you try to comfort yourself, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to be the comforter. You are pushing the comforter out by you comforting yourself. Eating food to comfort you is not the Holy Spirit comforting you. Well, I prayed and said, Lord, I need this. And if it's in my cupboard or my refrigerator or my freezer, that'll comfort me. And the God answered my prayer. You're the ding dong that went to the grocery store. You knew it was there. Don't tell me that was God. Everybody doing all right? Man, I just went from preaching to meddling, I know. Drinking beer, smoking cigarettes or dope, and blowing off steam so you can comfort yourself is not the Holy Spirit comforting you. Right. Say, well, me yielding to the Holy Spirit, I don't always understand his comfort. You're right. You don't always understand his comfort. But may I say this? He'll never fail in comforting you. Not once. But the Comforter, John chapter 14, which is the Holy Ghost, shall teach you all things and shall bring all things to your remembrance. Notice it doesn't say he's going to bring all things out of your refrigerator. Well, I just got to eat. This is comfort food. Now, ladies, I don't understand what comfort food is. Men, you know what I'm talking about. What is comfort food? Anything you can get down the hatch. All right? I don't eat food by how I feel. Say why? Because, man, I'd eat everything all the time. Just put me out and let me graze. My wife gets, if she ever does get upset, it's over, what do you want to eat? It doesn't matter. You fix it, I'll eat it. I have no preference. Well, what if I fix the same thing every day? I would eat it 3 meals a day if I had to and not say a word. Say, oh, you're just so boring. You can call it what you want. I just call it being content. Everybody doing all right? Don't blame God if he does not comfort you the way you want comforted. By the way, don't get mad if God comforts you in a way differently than you would comfort you. Well, when somebody was sick, I took meals to them. Then when I got sick, nobody brought meals to me. And I'm just mad at God because nobody, wait a minute, maybe somebody did do something for you, but you were too busy wanting to be comforted your way. Everybody doing okay? Some of you ladies have lost babies, miscarriage. And I've counseled you and said, people are going to say things that hurt you. They don't mean to. Do me a favor. Don't listen to what they say. Just say, thank you, and realize they tried. Forget what they said and just accept the fact that they said something. Jeannie, you're going through it. You've lost your husband. Can I tell you something? People are going to say some stupid things, and it's not going to help you, but they're trying. Just accept the fact they said something. Forget what they said, but just accept the fact they said something. Can I tell you something? Not everybody's going to comfort you the way you would comfort them. Wow. Number three, I got to hurry. If I try to strengthen me, the Holy Spirit will not strengthen me. If I try to strengthen me, the Holy Spirit will not be able to strengthen me because I'm doing it my way, not his way. Do you know that the Holy Spirit gives you energy? You know that the Holy Spirit gives you physical strength? Good night, Brother Stoltz. You know what I'm talking about. I worked for Brother Hiles, 74 years old, and that man was tougher than a knot till the day he died. He was in his 70s. And I was being used as an illustration one day, and he reached down. I was on all fours. He reached down, grabbed me by the back of the shirt, collar, and coat, and literally in one step walked over and picked me up, and my feet were off the ground. He was holding me like this, and I weighed 150 plus none of your business pounds. He was in his 70s. Say, what was that? He would tell you, oh, man, I'm getting weak. He was a paratrooper. He was strong to the day he died. Till his heart gave out, he was strong. Now, it took him longer to recover. He might not have been as strong as he once was, but I didn't want to mess with him. You know, I can choose to get strength my way, or I can do it God's way. For instance, I believe that you ought to eat well. Now, that doesn't mean mass quantities either, just so you know. But I think you ought to eat balanced diet. I think exercise is a good thing. I don't even think vitamins are a bad thing. But may I say this? I know some people, if you don't graze on the front yard, eat the leaves off the trees, and drink the swamp water out of the backyard, then you're not healthy. Now, wait a minute. I ain't drinking no swamp water. I take a good multivitamin. I take, this time of the year, a little extra vitamin C. You say, why? Because I deal with sick people all the time. I can't afford to be sick. And it does help me a little bit. I take bee pollen. Been taking bee pollen for, Lord have mercy, over 20 years. And it helps me with my sinuses and different things. Okay, it doesn't help everybody. Helps some people. I don't think everybody's the same, but may I say this? Even the vitamins you take are cursed, according to Genesis chapter 3, because God cursed the ground that they came from. what most people call healthy are a result of sin. Look at all the things that deal with weeds that you take that you think are healthy. Now, I'm not against it. If that's the way you want to live, great. But I know this. I'll be honest with you. I was dead dog tired before I started preaching tonight. I've got more energy now than the Energizer Bunny. I am wound up. My wife, my daughter, my kids will tell you, I do not sleep most Sunday nights. You say, yeah, it's because of that coffee. No, it's not the coffee, because I drink decaf after the morning. My energy level is just so high, it's just like there's so much going on. The Holy Spirit gives me the strength to keep going. I keep a pretty rigorous schedule. I average 75, 80 hours plus a week, every week. I was at Baltimore yesterday. I'll be in D.C. tomorrow. I'm leaving Monday morning for Tennessee. I've got 3 sermons this week, a funeral message. I've got a Sunday school lesson. I keep up with all the business here. I've been to the bank once and will go again tomorrow before I leave. And all the business to do here. I've got counseling. I've got other things that I deal with here. Hey, I keep pretty hectic pace here. I don't get sick very often. Say why? Because the Holy Spirit gives me that strength that I need. Now, I can either choose to do it in my strength, or I can yield to Him and say, I'm tired. Holy Spirit, you got to help me. And He does. I can't tell you how many times I've been so stinking tired before an appointment. And I'd say, okay, Holy Spirit, it's not fair to them that I'm tired. Give me the strength I need. You didn't know I was tired. The moment you walked out, I was dead again. A couple times a year, usually, I get a little throat issue. You all been here. There's times I've had somebody else make the announcements because I'm talking like this. Whole time I'm up here, I'm saying, Holy Spirit, please help me, help me, help me, help me. I get up to preach, and what happens? My voice is as clear then as it is now. And as soon as I get done preaching, I mean, the moment I'm done, the voice is gone again. How many times have you heard that happen in the last 2 years? Oh, yeah, you're just... No. That's called the Holy Spirit. He gives you the strength necessary. Now, Samson had strength as long as he yielded. When he quit yielding, he lost his strength. I'm talking physical strength. Now, don't get mad at me. But all the psychiatrists in the world will tell you something contrary to what God says. Depression weakens people because they run out of their own strength. Depressed Christians are Christians who are not filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a pretty strong statement. I'm sorry, but that's biblical. I didn't say you wouldn't have down days, but for you to live in depression, oh, woe is me, I don't even want to get out of bed, then yield to the Holy Ghost, go out and help somebody, let the Holy Spirit work through you, you'll get energized, I promise you. Man, I can't see people getting help, people getting saved without getting wound up tighter than a banjo string. Me going out and helping somebody energizes me. It really does. You say, quit helping so many people, you don't slow down. No, I'm loving it. I've got to hurry. And lastly here, I'll give you this one last. If I use my own joy, I don't get the joy of the Holy Spirit. If I use my own joy, I don't get the joy of the Holy Spirit. By the way, that's why carnal people, lost people, are continually, constantly seeking entertainment. And they're even seeking it in what they think is something spiritual. Oh, we went and saw this Christian drama. And God was moving. Drama is not what God said. I'm not against you going to see some Christian drama, but I hate to tell you, that's not God's plan. God said by the foolishness of preaching. Everybody doing okay? God is full of joy because he is the source of joy. Guess what? The farther you get away from the source, the less of it you have. Well, the Holy Ghost is God, and he has access to all of God's joy. Why do I want to cheer myself up my way? Why do I want to depend on my joy? Say, don't you ever get down? Not for very long. Because all I got to do, Brother Barnes, is thinking about the fact that I'm saved on my way to heaven. I never have to go to hell. All my sins are wiped away. There is no condemnation. I was guilty, condemned to death, condemned to hell, but Jesus forgave it. And not only that, he put the righteousness of God on my account. God's used me. The Holy Spirit moved in. Hey, I'm ready to go. How about you? Man, I've seen thousands and thousands and thousands of people saved. God's used me to help untold thousands of people. I can't stay down very long. Say why? Because I don't think about the problem. I think about what could have been, that is not, never will be, and I'm on my way to heaven. Glory to God, my name's written in heaven by God himself. If I use my own wisdom, I cannot use the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. You can put anything in there you want. The whole point is this. The Holy Spirit wants to be invited. He wants to be asked. He wants to be pushed into the leadership position. And even if he had it, he's not going to push himself. Let me finish with this story and I'm done. It was my joy for several, many years to work for Brother Hiles. Every Thursday we would have an all-staff meeting, and he'd buy lunch for everybody, and you kind of, this is probably not the right word to use, but you sat by seniority or rank or how long you had been there, and the ladies went around three sides. The men had one wall here, and you went from as long as you've been there, so I was always at the end of the line. I was the rookie, and I didn't care. I was in the room. Didn't matter to me where I sat. And one day, I was finishing up after staff meeting, and Brother Hiles just kind of stayed back. And I was watching him, and he was howling with everybody, and we'd been in staff meeting an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I was one of the last people out, and Brother Hiles is just waiting outside the room 400 there. And I walked out, and I said, "Hey, preacher, how are you?" He said, "I'm doing fine, Craig." He said, he was just standing there like this. I said, "Preacher, do you need something?" He said, "Well, I was just wondering something." I said, "What?" He said, "You're probably too busy." I said, "What?" He said, "I just wanted to talk with you for a few minutes." He said, "Would you mind walking me back to my office?" Well, that was three floors down on the other side of the building. I said, "Man, I'd love to. Let's go." Well, if you ever walked with Brother Hiles, amen, Brother Joe, when Brother Hiles walked and he was on a mission, I mean, it was, this is how you walked. That day, he had what we called a saunter. Amen, Jeremiah, you know what I'm talking about. He had that right hand in his pocket, and he was just walking like this, Brother Stoltz. We were yakking. You say, "What'd you talk about?" "I don't even remember. It was nothing about work. He was just talking." We walked down three floors that way, about this speed. Stood outside his door for a few minutes, talked. He said, "Craig, thanks." I said, "Preacher, that's the honor of my life." He said, "I love you, buddy." And punched me on the shoulder. I just turned to go away, and he said, "Hold it." I said, "What?" He said, "Come here." "Yes, sir." I walked right over to him, put those big old arms around me and hugged me. He said, "I love you." I said, "I love you too, preacher." Now, wait a minute. You know, all I had to do was just walk by and say, "See you later, preacher." And I'd have missed that opportunity. What was he doing waiting there? He wanted to spend a little time with me. He was just waiting. You know, if Dr. Jack Hiles would have seen me, "Hey, preacher," and walked by, he'd have been fine. He'd have just followed on behind me and gone about his way. But he wanted me to want him. Do you know that the Holy Spirit wants you to want him? He's not going to force his way. He wants you to want him. But if you don't, he'll just step back and let you go about your own business. That's how the Holy Spirit works. That's why when Samson did it his way, he lost the power of God on his life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I realize a little different approach maybe than some are used to, but the truth is very powerful. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you stopped and said, Holy Spirit, I need you. I want to do it your way, not my way. You got in your Bible and looked for what God said and how you're to do it his way. Or you came to the man of God and got his help and said, help me see what God wants me to do here. And that's what it's all about.